and sharing. I'm trying to make me cry before I come up here. See what you're doing. I'm on to you. No, I'm just kidding. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Good. I'm going to take my mask down in a second. There, you can see my full face. All right. Well, before we start, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll get rolling. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you once again, Lord, just for activity in our limbs, Lord God, and lungs that breathe, Lord, heart that pumps, Lord God, brain that functions, Lord God. Like you said, these are things that, you know, we just kind of coast through life, Lord, and we don't realize that it's a miracle. We're walking miracles, Lord. So, Father, any chance that we get, Lord God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of us, Lord God. Thank you for always taking care of us, Lord God. Thank you for never ceasing beyond us to take care of us, Lord. And Father, we trust you today, Lord. I pray that any words that come out of my mouth today, Lord God, that it will be from you, Lord. I decrease so that you can increase, Lord. And we just love you, we honor you, we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, today is going to be pretty straightforward. I'm going to try to stay on topic and on task so we can get out of here on time. Because, you know, I could kind of go on tangents sometimes. Not that that's a bad thing, but see, I'm already doing it. So today's, the topic today is perseverance in the finished work. And, you know, this has kind of been a theme that I've been seeing Wendell kind of hit on, and it's been rocking my heart. And the current season of life that I'm in right now, I just want to be an encouragement to you guys with, you know, my life.
Yeah.
And that's where this word is stemming from, you know. I can only give my testimony. I can't give yours. So.
Amen.
But I just wanted, the purpose today is to encourage you all that, you know, God is truly working on your behalf.
Amen.
Yeah. God is truly, and not only is he working on our behalf, but it's finished.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
It's not an undone thing that we're trying to get him to do, yeah. But we're at the finish line from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So perseverance in the finished work. And I got a little fun. I got some fun animations for y'all again this time. So I'm going to start off with this statement. You know, so many times when you hear the word perseverance or you hear, you know, persevering in the faith, you know, you automatically think, what, strain and trying to push something through, trying to push a prayer through to heaven. And, you know, we fight against ourselves a lot of times when we think perseverance, when we think trusting God is a difficult task for us to get to. But I'm here to tell you that that's not our reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perseverance should never look like strain.
Right, that's good.
It should always look like rest.
That's really good.
It should always look like trust. Perseverance is a coast.
Yeah.
It's a sprint, but it's coasting. You're being sprinted with. He's holding you in his arms and sprinting with you.
That's good.
Right.
And the more we delve into that reality, the more peace we have. In this walk with Christ. Because
yeah.
It is a walk with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was in high school and I did a little bit of track. I had a very short-lived track career because of my grades. So I had to get my grades up before I could do that.
Right.
But in that time, I found that Well, when I was a kid, I used to love sprinting. But as I got older, I found that I was actually pretty proficient at running long distance. So, but they tell you to run long distance so that you can sprint.
Yeah.
That's how you get faster. So it's weird how that works, but configuring our minds to understand that this ain't a sprint, it's a marathon.
Yeah.
You're not sprinting to get to the end. Like I said, you're already there. And now you're coasting with Christ.
That's good.
So connecting to his perseverance. We're going to start at Colossians 2, verse 2, 6 through 10. So if you could, or chapter 2, I'm sorry, 6 through 10. If you could go there with me real quick. And I'm going to read it from the ESV version. But I just like how it says it. Let's see here. Hallelujah, Lord. There we go. So, it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I'm going to stop there. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As I said, perseverance isn't about how fast you get somewhere or how much strength you can muster up to get somewhere in life or even like trials and different things that try to hit you in life, trying to fight through them. It is a battle, but the battle is not yours to fight. And when we go to that scripture where it says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, I always think about how easy it was to receive Christ.
Yeah.
You guys know how easy it is to receive Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Easy enough a child can do it.
Yes.
God made it that way so that it takes all of the guesswork, because it used to be where you had to go through hoops. Jump through hoops in the old covenant. It was a lot to be with God. It took a lot to be with God.
Yeah.
But the beauty of the cross is that he made it easy because he did the work. Amen. So, as I said, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. So, that same mentality that we carry when we say, Lord, I receive you. I receive I receive that you died on the cross for my sins. Is the same mentality that we take in persevering in Christ Jesus. When we look at when he said, it is finished, we take that same approach when it comes to those trials that are trying to rock our life.
Yeah.
That sickness that's trying to rock your life. Or that, I mean, we're all kind of, I'll say this, we've all been dealing with this coronavirus thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And it seems like, when will this crap end? When can I take this mask off? When can I do this? When can I do that?
Yeah.
Well, the reality is, we're persevering through it.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
And the perseverance through it takes us giving it to him.
That's right.
But like I said, you take from him to give to him.
Message.
Yeah.
Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. And that's not just talking about established in your own faith or your own ability, but established in his faith. His faithfulness.
Yeah.
That's the whole key with perseverance. It begins with trusting in his faithfulness.
Yeah.
You've seen him do things in your life. You've seen him. Some of y'all got some testimonies that blown my mind.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, my own personal testimony even is that one thing that I know God has been faithful with is I don't think I've really truly been sick in maybe the last 5 years.
Yeah. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah. Haven't had the flu, haven't had anything comparable, cold, nothing. That's a miracle. Because you know how easy it is to get sick. So, and that's just, like I said, that's just, and I say that to encourage you, like, when you truly are resting in Him and you truly give it to Him,
yeah. Come on, man.
Every aspect of life, God cares about every small thing yeah. to large thing
yeah.
that we deem as large, like Miles said, those things that we see as large is, I said it in there, it's like molecules of God.
That's yeah. so good, yeah. bro.
It's so small so to Him.
That's so good, man.
But like I said, because it's running at you, it seems hopeless sometimes yeah. when you're looking at it. But when you look at Him,
yeah. Come on.
Ooh, that's good, bro.
When you're rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith,
come on, bro.
In His ability to be faithful in all circumstances.
Mm.
Well, then, that's where you can have faith. Magnified, you can have faith multiplied in your life.
Yeah.
And that's where the strength of your perseverance in this life comes from.
Yes.
Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And see, that's the other key to perseverance. You can't approach perseverance with the attitude of, I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
Ooh. Man.
I say that again.
Come on,
you can't approach perseverance with the attitude of, I'm going to fail.
That's good, bro.
Or with the attitude of, well, God, maybe God ain't for me. You know, all of those thoughts come and hit our minds often.
Yeah.
I have them all the time. So, as I said, I can only give my own testimony. So, you know, the last update I gave y'all was that I got a job promotion, right?
Right.
Let me tell you. It's rough out here. Supervising is not for the faint of heart. I just say that. And you find yourself often second guessing yourself,
right?
Based upon what you know, the people that report to you. So this is a message that I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching it to y'all, because the reality of the situation is that perseverance is the key thing to get you through this situation.
Yeah.
And you can't ever allow the circumstances to outweigh God's faithfulness.
That's right.
The scales can't be even for you. You got to go all in with it.
Yeah.
You got to fully trust that God is faithful to push things through your life. And also recognize that in perseverance, you're being shaped and molded. Your character is being shaped and molded. Who you are as a person is being shaped and molded. Your growth happens through perseverance.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to continue on with this verse. It says, abounding in thanksgiving. And before I go further. Abounding in thanksgiving is abundance of thanksgiving, right? So, finding a reason to say thank you, God.
Yeah.
Finding a reason.
Yeah.
Even if you can't see a reason, finding a reason. Like I said, and sometimes it takes you going back to look at where He's brought you from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like I said, He's brought you from somewhere.
Yeah.
The fact that you're here on this earth is He brought you from somewhere.
Come on, bro. Come
he
on.
Brought you through your ancestors to be here today.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Just start there.
Right.
The fact that it was millions of sperm, but you hit that egg.
Woo, that's good. That's good.
And you're the age that you are now.
Uh-oh.
It's like, man, God has really carried us through this life.
Yeah.
And the more that we recognize that, and the more that we take that to heart, and the more that we trust and believe that He's faithful to perform what He begins, what He begins, He's faithful to perform.
Yeah.
That's where rest is multiplied in our hearts. So, as I was saying, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. How many know that we can take our own minds? We can be taken captive by our own mind.
Yeah.
That's a better way to say it. You can be taken captive by the grandioseness of your purpose. Right. You know, God has a purpose for you, and then He even reveals some things to you, and then you look at the purpose more than you look at Him, and then you lose track.
Uh-oh.
You ever been there? I've been there.
Come on, bro.
I've been there.
And like you said, that's things that we face in the battle of perseverance, in the realm of perseverance, because now it drives you to believe something that is contrary to the reality of Christ now. Once again, your reality in Christ Jesus is that it is finished. Say that with me. The reality of Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
Is that it is. Finished.
Finished.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, so we're just going to keep doing this surgery. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. So not only is Christ whole, Christ filled with all things kingdom, but so are you.
That's good.
According to what this scripture is saying. And we trust in the word, right? So, for in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him.
Yeah.
That's good.
So as you're inside of Him, He's constantly filling you with Himself.
Yeah.
That's good.
Therefore, that's where perseverance is fueled.
Come on.
Through this life.
Yeah.
That's why circumstances, we should be laughing at circumstances that look crazy.
That's good, bro. That's good.
Come on.
When a doctor tells you, well, you got 3 days to live, laugh at him and say, that's not what God says.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
You're filled with Him.
That's right.
Who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Kind of explain what that's saying. So, you know, in Jewish law tradition, you know, circumcision is the snipping away of things. And in that process, that was the sign to show that you were clean, that you were made clean, that you were in covenant with God. Well, now, you know, the physical circumcision is done away with. We don't have to do that to be clean before God. But we've been given a spiritual circumcision of this flesh.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So when God relates to you, He no longer relates to you from the flesh.
Mm.
He relates to you from who He is, how He loves you.
Yeah.
From a higher sight than what man can come up with.
Yeah.
Mm. So in Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him. So even further, if you've been baptized,
come on.
When you're baptized in Him, whenever you get baptized, you're making a declaration. celebration to connect with His baptism.
Yeah.
You're receiving something. Hold on, let me go back. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. So once again, you're connecting, even in baptism, you're connecting to what He's already done in His baptism.
Yeah.
You're connecting with the fact that He was crucified, killed, hung,
yeah,
put in a grave, and raised again.
Yeah.
That's what that's kind of explaining baptism, but. And you may think, and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to continue on. You may think, well, what does all of this have to do with persevering? Just hang with me. I'm going to tell you. Okay. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands.
Mm.
This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities that put them, and put them to shame by triumphing over them in Him. So I'm going to say that again. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame, to open shame, by triumphing over them in Him. So, from that verse 6 to verse 15, we see that God not only loves us, He's given us a bunch of gifts to show us and to remind us that He's for us.
Yeah.
But not only that, He tells us that He's disarmed all of your enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You not fighting an enemy that's got a sword at your neck.
That's good. That's good.
You got the sword now.
Come on.
So when we're talking about perseverance, we have to approach it with a different mindset now, right?
Yeah.
We have to approach those circumstances that we're facing with a mindset of, once again, I'm already at the finish line.
Come on.
God is revealing things to me now. He's not just telling me I got to go get these things. He's opening your presence. You're opening presents on Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to go buy your presents on Christmas.
That's good. That's good.
You know how terrible that would be for a kid? Like, I got your gifts under the tree, but you got to go buy them first. That'd be traumatizing. To persevere is to occupy the idle places. And you know, like you said, the mindset that we carry is directly connected to how we persevere through stuff. Whether it's a struggle or it's a rest. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Do we believe that today?
Amen. Amen.
Because that's the other part to perseverance is belief. You can only go as far as you believe. Just like you can only see things manifest in your life as far as you believe.
Yeah.
If you say, this is the illustration that I always see a lot, where it's like a guy digging underground and he's right in front of a mountain of diamonds. And he stopped and he's turning back the other way.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's how we are in our mentality of perseverance. We get weary in doing good.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And that's when you basically cut yourself short of something that God's trying to bless you with. If you just persevere. And like I said, he's making it easier for you to persevere through rest. Let your eyes look directly forward. This is Proverbs 4, 25 and 26. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. So there's practicality in this too. God never just gives you something spiritual without giving you some type of rules to follow. Some guidelines to follow so that it's not just navel gazing, but there's some action that goes with your faith.
Right, right.
Like I said, when I got that job promotion, for instance, I had to go to the interview to get the job.
Yep.
Man, I had some, I ain't gonna tell you. I had some folks, they wanted job promotions, but they didn't want to apply for the position. I'm like, how do you think you're going to get the position if you don't apply for it?
Oh.
What's the kind of sense of that make? Nobody's going to give you anything.
Come on.
Action. You got to plant a seed for you to get a tree.
Come on.
That's just basic botany, right? Like I know something about botany. But I know if I put a seed in the ground and I water it and it's in the right conditions, it'll grow.
Come on, somebody.
So that's my expertise on that. But like you said, perseverance is about occupying your mind as well. Like I said, you can't go anywhere far if you don't put gas in the car. You can't go anywhere if you don't minister, allow God to minister to your mind. Trust in his faithfulness.
That's good.
Like I said, you trust in his faith. You stir up Thanksgiving by thinking about what he's done. That's the fastest way to Thanksgiving. Like Miss Sharon was doing today. She was stirring that pot. And then even you can be encouraged by other people's testimonies.
Yeah.
So if you don't think you got anything in there, you can go ask your friend, man, what God did for you. And I'm sure they can think of something too. And then that'll spark something in you. Like, that's what the relationship with each other is about too. You know what I'm saying?
Come on,
you
bro.
You build faith with one another.
Come on,
faith bro. Comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
But like I said, where you're looking, where your mind is occupied, is where perseverance will carry you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So here go one of my fun little things. Attitude determines altitude. Say that with me. Say attitude.
Attitude
determines.
Determines.
Altitude.
Altitude.
Woo! So you can either take it down or you can take it up.
Come on, bro.
You can take yourself down. Faith doesn't have a specific, let me say it like this. Faith is no respecter of person. You can believe against yourself or you can believe for yourself.
Okay.
That's probably a better way to say it.
Okay, right? That's good. That's
you can believe against what God is telling you. Because you ain't never seen it before. Or because other people ain't never seen it before. Can you imagine how terrible life would be if we didn't have Amazon right now? If Jeff Bezos was like, you know what, I don't think I could do this. What happened to Amazon? You wouldn't be getting your packages 3 days later. You know what I'm saying? 1 day later, you know?
Same day delivery? That's God right there.
But attitude determines altitude. And once again, hitting on that point of what you're believing can disrupt your perseverance. And you can be persevering in the wrong direction.
Uh-oh.
Away from what God has promised for you.
This is good, bro.
But once again, as you're tapping in to that reality, as you're tapping into His love for you, as you're tapping into His grace, as you're tapping into the finished work that He has done, well, therefore, you're encouraged, you're motivated, you're pushed. You're in the catbird seat. That's what my dad used to say. You're in the catbird seat. You know, Tweety Bird used to sit on the catbird seat. That's where the bird can't reach and grab him. I mean, the cat can't reach and grab a bird, but that's your reality.
Okay, with the animation.
Yeah.
Got me? Okay.
Altitude, you know what I'm saying? So, perseverance knows no time. And a lot of people hate this because they don't like the fact that you gotta wait sometimes for things.
Hello.
Sometimes it requires, perseverance requires waiting.
Come on, brother.
And it's, but once again, it's about how you're waiting.
Yeah.
It's how you're waiting.
Yeah.
Because your attitude in the waiting process can either serve you or work against you, like I said.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about in Genesis 29, 16 and 20,
yeah,
your boy Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go through the whole excerpt, but I'm just going to read this little part because it's hilarious to me. It probably wasn't hilarious to him at the time, but it's hilarious to me. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel."
He's saying like that.
Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her.
Aww.
Aww, isn't that love? So sweet. Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. When we're facing circumstances,
come on, bro.
The mindset. He loved her so much, that's why it only felt like a couple of days. But in reality, it was 7 years. And then this ain't even, I didn't put the other part on there because I didn't. But he got played and they snuck in Leon. So he had to wait another 7 years to get Rachel. So he didn't want Leah, he gave him Leah instead of giving him Rachel. But the hilarity in all of this is that he waited 14 years, really,
yeah,
before he could be with his promise.
Yeah. Mm. Come on.
Imagine that. Jesus.
But his mindset was, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to rest in this.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing nothing easy to get this. He was tending sheep. He was a shepherd. But in the process, God blessed him even more in that process. But it's all about your perspective.
Come on, bro. That's good. That's good.
Because he left with double of what he probably would have left with if he had just stayed there for that 7 years.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's good.
Literally, he left with double. He left with two wives. Double the livestock. Double the good, like literally.
Come on. Come on. Explain it.
You know you ain't want one of them, but. But I say all of that to say that the perseverance of heart that it took for that. Like I said, that's our reality. You have a promise that God has blessed you with.
Yeah, bro.
And in that promise, like I said, perseverance is a key thing to get you through.
Yeah.
I got this picture up here. I'm going to give an example.
Cobra Kai.
Of, yeah, I've been watching, me and my wife, we've been watching that Cobra Kai, man.
Great.
We watched the whole last season in one day. We just sat there and watched the whole thing. But it was great. But I like this show because it's still cheesy, you know, Karate Kid, cheesy kind of stuff. But they stayed true to the original way that it was. But there was this, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, so I'm not gonna go too deep into detail. But they had a karate competition, and the guys is looking all evil and malicious. They're Cobra Kai, and then the other two are Miyagi-Do and what's the other one? Eagle Fang.
Yeah.
Eagle Fang Karate. So they teamed up to fight them, basically. But one of the things that I got from it was they had to work together in order to defeat Cobra Kai, and they can stand each other.
Yeah.
And one of the main reasons why they couldn't stand each other is because they did two different styles of karate. One was about defense. You know, Miyagi-Do is all about wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
And Eagle Fang was all about strike first, put fear in your opponent's hearts.
Yeah.
It's basically a runoff of Cobra Kai,
yeah,
but with a little bit of mercy in there. But
a little bit.
They found so they were in a karate competition, and Daniel-san, he was so stuck on his traditions of being defensive that he wasn't preparing his students for what was to come. Because they needed some offense. They couldn't just get through there with defense.
Throw them hands.
They had to fight in order to win. And sometimes that's the case for us. When you think, a lot of times we approach the enemy with, I'm going to endure to the end. And the enemy is just, meanwhile, busting us upside the head, laughing in your face.
Come on now, bring it on.
And sometimes, like you said, it takes pursuing the enemy.
Come on.
And enduring that way.
Come on.
Perseverance is an attack.
Come on.
Against the enemy. Against your thoughts.
Come on.
Against the lies of the enemy. And so, like you said, they found that, okay, if sometimes I gotta fight in order to win. And that's how they won. That's how you won a fight. That's how you win a fight. Let's just say that. That's how you win a fight. You gotta have offense and you gotta have defense.
That's right.
Sometimes the Lord will tell you you need to endure in a season. But sometimes you're gonna have to persevere in a season. You're gonna have to pursue.
That's good, bro.
There's coming in, endurance, in endurance, and there's persevering.
That's good.
So,
that's good, bro.
That's what it takes. But we talk about perseverance right now. So the reality is that there's two schools of thought. Perseverance is not. And like I said, both are necessary for life. You know, both are necessary for trials in life. But being led by the Spirit in both.
Yeah.
Trusting in the key imperative thing is trusting God in the process.
Yeah.
And they're both coming from a place of rest. Because there will be times where you got to sit in something.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
And then there are times where you got to sit in something, but you got to do something.
Oh,
right.
Come on.
And that's perseverance. You got to keep coming at the enemy. like he's trying to come at you.
Okay.
Don't run away from the enemy when he's running at you. Oh.
Run
at him.
Come on.
And I guarantee you that God is faithful, more faithful than the trial is bigger. God is more strong than the trial is bigger. That, does that make sense? God is, that thing will flee when it sees your big brother. I remember when I was a kid and this guy was messing with me on the bus. Joe can corroborate the story. This guy was messing with me on the bus and he just kept picking with me. And I got fed up. And Joe was like, "You better leave him alone." He was talking to the dude about me. He's like, "You better leave him alone." And he just kept picking me. Yeah, throwing stuff at me. And I just turned around and slapped him. And the dude just was looking like, "Oh my gosh." My mom don't know that story, so don't tell her. But it was that situation. I just thought of that situation because sometimes you gotta slap the enemy. And you slap the enemy with perseverance. You slap the enemy with what Jesus did at that cross. You slap the enemy with what the true reality of God's faithfulness is.
Amen.
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 So, once again, when you're operating in a space of perseverance, don't fold back, y'all. Lean in.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him and call according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. One second, let me. And I think that's the other part of it is when we're trusting in the finished work, we're trusting in our identity. Now we have an authority that we're operating in. And you don't have to take things as they come, once again. You don't have to just take what the enemy is serving you. You can knock that plate out of his hand.
Right.
We can knock that lie of, "I can't do this," out of our mind. We can knock those lies of, "This is too overwhelming," or "This is too much for me."
Yeah.
And we have to start declaring that, "No, God, you're too much for that thing."
Come on, that's good. That's good.
You're too much for the enemy. He can't handle you. The more we magnify him, the smaller things become. There's a verse, and I didn't put it up here, but there's a verse in Isaiah 46:4, and I just want to say this one. It says, "Even to your old age, I am He. And to the gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and will save." When we, like scriptures like that, when we take those things and we plant those in our heart, over time, that's what roots us, that's what grounds us to really trust that God is for us.
Yeah.
The whole thing that the enemy is trying to do is to get you off of your square to think that God ain't for you. That's his whole objective, is to rob you, because he's already lost. He's already lost. So his next best thing now is to make you feel like you're a loser like him.
Come on.
But you aren't. I'm here to declare that to you today. You are not a loser. You are a winner. You are the head and not the tail.
Come on. Come on, bro.
You are above only and not beneath.
Come on.
Even if it doesn't feel like it, you can't go off of feelings with this thing.
Come on, bro.
Faith. You can feel faith, but faith ain't just a feeling. Faith is a reality. Faith in him is a reality for sure. Because he's already proven it. The proof is in the pudding, as they say. And like I said, I stand here to declare to you guys that God has your back.
Yeah.
He's for you.
Yeah.
And it is truly finished.
Amen.
So in conclusion, when traveling through this life, God's desire for us all is to have life and life more abundantly. Say that with me. Life.
Life.
And life more.
And life more.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
He don't want you to just have a little happiness. Oh, it's a good, beautiful day. No, he wants you to be ecstatic.
Yeah.
He wants you to have vigor. He wants you to be excited.
Yeah.
And that comes with Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's a cycle.
Yeah.
Message.
With having to navigate a fallen world, it's important for us to turn our eyes to the hills from which comes our help. Our ability to persevere should fully be engulfed in God's superabounding capability to manifest himself throughout every crevice of our life. To persevere is to enter into his rest. To persevere is to flow like water through whatever circumstances lies before us with a confidence steeped in resurrection power.
Yeah.
At the end of all of this, you're going to be with him.
Come on.
Right.
See, that used to be the enemy's number one tactic. You're going to die one day. But the reality is, I'm not going to die one day.
Ooh, that's good, bro. That's
I
good.
Be with him.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
So that takes the fear out of anything else.
Because
can't nothing else worse happen to you than you leave this earth. And like I said, that's where you find your rest, guys. So, amen. That's all I got. And I guess we're gonna pray out. Just take a second and we're going to pray real quick. If you guys could just bow your heads with me. Say this with me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I trust you.
I trust you.
I receive.
I receive.
Everything.
Everything.
That you have for me.
That you have for me.
That you have for my family.
That you have for my family.
I receive.
I receive.
Your superabounding.
Your super abounding
rest.
Rest.
In my life.
In my life.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That this battle is not mine to carry.
It's not mine to carry.
But you already won.
But you have already won.
And today
I declare
that your love is for me.
It's for me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Preach and talk about stay the course, don't give up, especially like you said right before the promise comes through. So thank you for that encouragement. I'm here to receive the offering. Brother Irvin has some envelopes if you need them. We also have giving on our website, gfostlouis.com. You can do that through PayPal. So I just wanted to share a few things here. And if you have a check, you can make it out to GFO St. Louis. So when we talk about giving, we're talking about sowing, planting, putting seed for something that we want to come forth. And so actually some of your message was kind of tying into what I wanted to share. It was just about staying focused on the goals and on the promises that God has given you. You know, in January is a time when people set goals for the year. You know, I encourage you to set goals in every area if you haven't already. Has anybody set goals yet for this year? Raise your hands. Anybody set goals yet? Okay. So most people have already set goals. Anybody started on them yet? Good job. That's encouraging. Stick with it. You know, I just want to encourage you to stick with your goals. But just also remember that the spiritual side of that, you know, what are you speaking? What are you speaking to yourself, you know, when no one is around? So I just want to remind you to put the word with your goals.
Yeah.
As you start going forth, finding those scriptures, you know, if you have financial goals,